on Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Here's On The Pace.
Lazarus has raced up to Tiger Tara. Lazarus, Tiger Tara. Chicago Bull can't get there. Lazarus in front. Chicago Bull goes to second. But it's the great New Zealander, Lazarus. Lazarus has won the Inter Dominion.
And it is 28 to 11. We're on the pace for the man himself, Greg Hayes. Morning, Greg.
Morning to you, Cozzy. We're going to try and squeeze five guests in this morning. Normally we get through four, but there's been so much happening in harness racing over the past week, despite the fact we've moved on from the Carnival of Miracles. Today we're going to catch up with Brad Elder. Now, he drove at Newcastle on Saturday night. He only basically got through about 400 metres of the first race on Saturday night, and he went down in a race. Unfortunately, it was a very, very nasty fall. He spent Saturday night in hospital. He came out yesterday. He tells me that he wants to drive at Tamworth later this week. He obviously is going to need to get medical clearance to do that, but we'll catch up with Brad. It was a really, really nasty fall. The sulky basically got catapulted onto his back. And I was speaking to his dad this morning, and effectively, it's lucky they wear vests these days, because the sulky has effectively cut his vest straight down the middle. But we'll have a chat to Brad and speak with him about how he's feeling. Want to speak with Brett Coffey this morning from Alabar, because they've announced that Vincent will be standing at Alabar Stud this season or next season, with him being retired. So we'll speak with Brett Coffey. Gary Hall Sr. is going to join me. He, of course, trained King of Swing to win the WA Derby last Friday night. Nigel McGrath, now he's got horses at the trials this morning in New Zealand, but he's the trainer of Sheriff, who won the New Zealand Derby on Friday night, and it was a huge performance. Massive. So Nigel's going to join us in between trials, so we'll try and catch up with him as well. And we haven't yet won a Harness Jewels in New Zealand, Australia. We've gone very close, Divisive in the first year, ran second, and last year we went close with Mr. Mojito and One Muscle Hill. This year we have got a big, big chance, and we might go over in strength. Horses like Platinum Revolution have been talked about. Carla's Pixel is a chance to go. Wobbly, Jillaby Kung Fu, Custodian, Soho Burning Love is a possibility. So we are going to catch up with Darren Williams from Harness Racing New Zealand as well. He's going to tell us more about that. So there is a lot to get through this morning. So make sure you stay tuned for the next half hour or so. But first up today, we're going to speak with Brad Elder, who had that really nasty fall on Saturday night at Newcastle, driving Flash Anatomy for Richard Williams. Morning, Brad.
Hey, Greg. How you going?
Mate, well, I would suggest that you're pretty sore after that fall on Saturday night.
Yeah, pretty battered and bruised, and yeah, just a bit of bad luck, I suppose.
It was a really nasty fall. The horse wasn't on its best behaviour, but when the horse went down, obviously you would have watched the replay a couple of times. The sulky's basically swung and catapulted straight onto your back.
Yeah, my dad had a look at the steward's footage of the back straight shot, and they said that when I've sort of launched up, the gig just smashed me in the back and drove me into the ground.
And speaking with your dad today, your vest has copped the fair brunt of it, and basically has saved you from a lot of damage.
He said that a few of the squares had all, ripped out of the vest. I haven't seen it, but they reckon it's a bit of a mess.
Now, you spent some time in hospital on Saturday night, but you were released yesterday, and you're a pretty tough character. I know you've had some pretty serious injuries from driving in the past, but you're keen to get back into the sulky pretty quickly.
I've been wanting to drive at Tamworth in the Country Series races on Friday for a couple of weeks. It's been on the plan, so I'm still trying to push that, but I don't know whether I'll make it.
So what's the process if you're to drive at Tamworth on Friday? You got to get clearance from the doctors by Thursday, do you?
I'll probably go to the doctor on Thursday or maybe even Friday morning. Depends on whether I can get in. But, that's the plan, is to get back out there.
Now, I'm told that your face copped the brunt of it. You basically face-planted into the Newcastle track on Saturday night.
Got a bit of a cut on my chin, but not as bad as the one I had a couple of years ago where I actually had a lot of skin off, just a little cut. Probably about, I don't know, maybe 2 inches long.
Wow.
Not real deep.
Okay. Well, as long as you're okay and you're going to mend and hopefully we've got our fingers crossed for you on Friday that you can get your clearance and get straight back into it. Is it knocking your confidence around at all having these falls, or you're coping with it okay?
Oh, not too bad. I've had 3 in 3 months, so surely my life can change sometime.
Yeah, it's a good way to look at it. 3 in 3 months and your luck's got to change. Mate, we are thinking of you and all the best of luck, and hopefully you can get that clearance for Friday.
Thanks very much.
There he is, Brad Elder, driving Flash Anatomy in that first race at Newcastle on Saturday night and trying to get a clearance. If you do want to have a look at the Harness Media Centre on the website, and that first race at Newcastle, he's at the tail of the field and it's on the first corner, the top corner at Newcastle. The horse just went straight down and unfortunately the gig goes straight over the top of him. Press release out this morning from Alibar that Vincent, the horse that Mark Purden felt was going to be Harness Racing's next absolute superstar, has been purchased by the Alibar and Neveliar Studs in partnership. The imposing son of champion international sire Art Major has been retired from racing and will stand at stud this coming season. Brett Coffey is joining me to have a chat about that from Alibar, and Brett's online. Good morning, Brett.
G'day, Greg. How are you doing?
Really well. This is a coup for Alibar and Neveliar Studs.
Yeah, look, it's really exciting to be able to secure Vincent. We've followed him for a while and, you know, we think he ticks all the boxes, so now we're really, really happy to have him.
He was a very well-thought-of juvenile, of course. He was sold for $130,000 as a yearling, very talented as a youngster, and then went on as a 2-, 3-, and 4-year-old. He's going to stand at stud at Alibar in Australia?
Yes, yeah, in Victoria. So, yeah, we've purchased him with Neveliar, like we have with A Rock and Roll Dance and Always Be Mickey. But, yeah, so he'll be standing at our Echuca farm alongside his champion sire, so champion father. So it'll be a nice little thing to have him at the farm.
So how long have you guys been chasing a horse the calibre of Vincent?
Look, yeah, always keep an eye out for horses, potential stallions, and you saw pretty early on that this guy was going to be a potential stud option. So, you know, obviously a fantastic time, as you said, made 130 at the sales, and then I suppose the first time we really saw his brilliance in the heat of the Vic Derby when he came across to Victoria. And, unfortunately, he had the accident in the final and got the wheel tangled, the tyre tangled around the wheel. But and then, you know, he just went on, didn't he? Like, the New South Wales Derby win was fantastic, tremendous win there. And from there, yeah, we just knew he was going to be a stud option for us. So Jane and Bill have been really good to deal with. So we owe them a huge thanks as well. And they're just looking for him to have a great chance at stud. So we hope we can give it to him.
I noticed that at the bottom of the press release, lifetime breeding rights will be available in both countries.
Yes, yeah, for sure. So that's something we're keen to do with him, to give him the best chance to go at stud. So we'll have further details available shortly, probably by the end of the week, I think, on that. But yeah, look, hope it'll be an attractive option for breeders to you know, get in at the ground floor with this horse and enjoy the ride as he goes through his stud career.
And obviously there's no fee at the moment being advertised. What sort of price range are we looking at?
Look, yeah, so that'll be decided in the coming days as well, I would think. But look, he's going to be at a fee that's competitive. I can't really say exactly what it will be, but it's going to be competitive, and we think he's going to be a good option for people that either want to take a horse to the sale or just race it themselves. So we think he's got all the credentials to be a commercial stallion. Especially given how good he looks, he's going to throw really nice looking foals. So coming days, we'll make an announcement on his service fee.
He's beautifully bred on his dam line, isn't he?
It's an amazing pedigree. It's a pedigree we've actually bought a couple of mares out of in recent times as well, just because it's so strong. When you think his first two dams are Group 1 winners. You know, he's a half to McKenzie. He's going to go over 500,000 in earnings soon. And, you know, Full Pleasure's been spending an amazing broodmare as well. I think she's left four $200,000 earners and soon to be five. Pedigrees don't come a lot better, to be honest. So so that's certainly one of his really attractive features as well.
All right. Well, we look forward to the announcement in coming days as to what he's going to stand at. But we wish you all the best of luck with Vincent in the coming season.
No worries. Well, thanks very much for having us on, Greg. And yeah, if anyone is interested in the lifetime breedings, just get in contact with us at our office. And be sure to check out the website and we'll have details shortly. So,
thanks, Brett.
No worries at all. Thanks very much, Greg.
There he is, Brett Coffey from Alabar with news that Vincent will stand at Alabar in Australia. So there is the news with him. Be interesting. Obviously, he's not the only big name Kiwi at the moment that is in talks about going to stud. There's obviously talks at the moment about Lazarus. There was talks that the owners of Lazarus had a meeting over the weekend about the future of him as to whether he will continue racing or whether he will go to stud as well. I just don't know whether there's any value if a stud was to purchase Lazarus in continuing to race him. So big decision to be made in the next week or so too as to whether we see Lazarus race on or whether he too heads off to the breeding barn. Gary Hall Sr. is going to join me now. He is the trainer of King of Swing. I spoke with Gary Hall a week ago, didn't speak with him on air, but had a chat to him off air about King of Swing. He went around in the Derby Prelude on the day before Good Friday, and the horse was beaten, but Gary wasn't disappointed with the run. He said it was the run of the race, and he proved to be spot on because King of Swing came out in the WA Derby on Friday night and looked a beaten horse at the 400-metre mark, but somehow lifted off the canvas. Only good horses do that, and Gary Hall Sr. is joining me. Morning, Gary.
Morning, Greg. How are you going?
Mate, really well. That was a brave performance on Friday night to win the WA Derby.
Yeah, he's full of class, the horse.
He's brave as one of his
attributes, obviously.
He's not the speed horse that I thought he was when he was racing in the Breeders' Crown and that. And, you know, that may be because he was a two-year-old and he was a lot fresher than I've got him. But I think his future probably relies around him being the role player in races and showing his strength, and which is good because, you know, those big races, strength is the key, I think.
Were you concerned watching the race on Friday night at the top corner? Did you think that he was in a bit of trouble?
Yeah, I was hoping you'd get out of the way so speed man.
So, yeah, no, I was. I didn't think. I thought he was gone for all money. And, you know, he showed a hell of a lot of courage to lift and win the way he did. And, you know, I'm not knocking any of the horses in that prelude, but in that derby, but I don't think it was one of the strongest derbies around. And I think, you know, obviously he's got to improve to be a grand circuit horse, but I think he's got all the makings of it.
It's interesting, and we had this conversation again last Tuesday. Before Chicago Bull won the derby, you were playing him down a little bit. Giving this bloke a spell, King of Swing, and getting him ready for a race like the Gold Nugget, is there a chance that King of Swing improves in the next 3 or 4 months and all of a sudden becomes a Chicago Bull sort of horse who can dominate as a four-year-old?
Oh, I hope so. That's what we sort of voted for, Greg, but I don't really know.
That's all. You know, like it's not an exact science for as training as everybody out there knows. And, you know, like King of Swing, I think the thing about him is I know he can run a quick quarter because he has done it in the past. And he can run sustained speed for a long time and run fast times. He went 52.2 or something, running second to Chase Auckland in the Sire Stakes. So I think the horse has definitely got that ability there. And, you know, it's just up to me to get the best out of him. And I really think the trip over here, he never had a gleam to his coat. He was a bit dull, and he's been lethargic ever since he's got here, really. And I had to put him straight into work and put him into my regime, which is you know, like, can be a bit taxing on horses if they're not 100%. And I think that's what was wrong with him. And I think
basically when he has an 8-week spell now, which he's going to do 6 to 8 weeks, and we look after him, bring him back with a proper preparation, I'm sure he can go to that next level.
Do all of the horses from your stable go out for a spell from the Derby, Speedman and Ben Hope Rules? Do they have a break as well?
Yeah, they're both out now, yeah. Ben Hope Rules was a bit surprising, actually, because he's the same. He didn't settle in at all either, and he went to the line quite strongly, didn't really get a run. So I'm a little bit hopeful that he might come back a lot better horse too.
So by the looks of it, obviously you've got some nice three-year-olds there, and again, you should have some nice fun in those four-year-old races in WA around Christmas time and in the summer months.
Yeah, I hope so, Chris. But I'll tell you what, in harness racing, since I've been in it, that was probably my biggest relief, that horse winning title night. I was under all sorts of pressure, which I put myself under. Nobody was putting pressure on me, but I felt the pressure anyway, so that one.
Is that because of the amount of money that was paid for the horse, or...?
Yeah, when you're always going to pay a large amount of money for the horse, there's a few new owners in it, and that couple of them are gallop, thoroughbred owners, and they're into the first time in the harness, and I just wanted the horse to go well for them, and one of the guys that's in it with me, Don McGregor, I haven't had a lot of success. I saw him after about 30 years. I knew him 30 years ago and hadn't seen him for a long time. I met him in a garage one night and I put him into a couple of horses and they weren't that good. So I was anxious for the horse to do well for him. That's what we all hope for. It's got nothing to do with the money or anything like that. It's got to do with the success and the enjoyment you have. And we had a great time Friday night, obviously.
What about Chicago Bull? Where's he at?
He's spelling. Got fat real quick. Yeah, I don't think they're completely different horses, King of Swindon and Chicago Bull. But Chicago Bull, I think he can go to another level this time up too. I think that's his first season in that level, and I thought he stood himself pretty well, and I think he can improve again.
Will we see you across here in the eastern states for anything in particular? The Inter Dominions races like that, or will you stay at home?
No, he's coming.
He'll be here.
I mean, he's earmarked to go. Yeah, he's coming to the Inter Dominions for sure.
Yep.
So it was interesting hearing your comments before on Lazarus.
If there was no Lazarus, would you go to New Zealand for the New Zealand Cup?
Doubt it. I might. It might be on the cards. It depends how he's going. But no Lazarus and. I think Chicago Bull would have a great chance in the Inters and that, but one part of me says I'd like Lazarus not to be there. The other part of me says for a half Australian half race, and we need him there, don't we?
Yeah.
So, that's the thing, and I'd like to beat him anyway. I definitely earmarked to come over for the Inters and Inters, and maybe even a Victoria Cup or something like that. I think that's before the Inters, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, so we'll bring him back with that in mind. But he's definitely going to come to the end of it all being well.
All right.
And I might even bring King of Swing over for some other races that might be on the program.
All right, Gary, thanks for that. Congratulations with the win on Friday night.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
There is Gary Hall Sr. joining us to have a chat on King of Swing, who won the WA Derby on Friday night. There were two derbies run on opposite sides of Australasia on Friday night. Obviously, we had the WA Derby run and King of Swing was successful, former Kiwi, and we had the New Zealand Derby run at Christchurch at Addington, and that was won by Sheriff Nigel McGrath, was winning that, and we'll try and catch up with Nigel in just a moment. We've spoken about this ad nauseum in harness racing. It's not ideal. Gallops have it as well. You've got two derbies run within the space of, obviously it's not as bad, but in the space of 3 or 4 hours, and horses you would like to see running in as many derbies as they can, you're not going to get too many horses competing in the New Zealand Derby that would then go across and compete in the WA Derby or vice versa. But when you get a very special three-year-old, you would like to see those sort of horses given the opportunity to win as many derbies as possible. But this New Zealand Derby winner, Sheriff, is a pretty special animal because He did an enormous amount of work in winning. Nigel McGrath is the trainer, and I know he's at the trials in New Zealand, so we'll keep this brief, but he's joining us this morning to have a chat. Morning, Nigel.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
Mate, really well. You must have been so proud of Sheriff on Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Over the moon. He's, I was expecting a pretty good run, but even went surprised me a little. Just really.
What were you thinking when Blair came out three wide? He was forced to come out three wide because Anthem was coming, but he then just had to go to basically he didn't get a rest from there on out. So for him to keep coming in the straight and hold off Pat's Delight, that was just so brave.
Yeah, look, he both had a skin. To be honest, I was pleased he got given every chance. I'm not saying unlucky. He did a really good event go his way up after the North Island Derby, the Great Northern Derby. So I kind of said to Blair, I'd probably prefer to be beaten on his merits than unlucky again. So, look, the drive I was really pleased with. But, yeah, you're right. It was pretty torrent on him. And the time, New Zealand record time, was just outstanding. But to do the work he did and then look, beat him to the home and keep going. I think they're all beaten to the home. So I think he just probably just outstayed him down the straight of everything else.
Blair was saying that the horse got a little bit stirred up in the warm-up too, so it amazed him, the performance. What do you do now with Sheriff? Does he get ready for the duels? Is that the plan?
Yeah, look, he's been pretty lightly raced all season. It's no secret he had quite a nasty bleed around cut week and I had to turn him out then, and he's come back. So, look, I don't over-race him and try to space his races out if I can. And, look, he's gone into each major race just one lead-up, so, look, I probably won't change that. So, like, I'll probably just give him one more start next month and then he'll trip up to North Island and race in the duels, and that'll probably do him for a few weeks after that. He'll go for a wee spell.
Is he likely to be seen here in Australia at any stage? Is he Breeders' Crown eligible?
I don't think he's Breeders' Crown eligible, which is disappointing. I've been campaigning many horses over there. I've probably taken a couple over there in the last few years. So, you know, I finally get one good enough to really bring him over. So, yeah, we'll see. It might be 6 months or 12 months, but I think for a 100 car for a miracle mile, he's short. I'd be there for sure.
Yeah. No, well, his effort was simply stunning, and he looks a horse. Is he a horse that is going to get bigger and stronger as he gets older, or is he already a nicely developed three-year-old?
You know what? If you walked on a barn, you probably couldn't pick him out. He's just plain. Like a typical Better's Delight, he's nice looking colt. He's nice and round and strong, but he's not very tall. And you'd probably pick a few other ones around here before him on looks. But he's not very tall. He may grow a little bit, but he's compact and strong. And I wouldn't expect him to grow too much. But just the way he's developed from two to three, I'd like to think he'd keep on improving.
And what did you think? What did you think halfway down the straight? Mark McNamara had him in front, right down the straight. I thought actually Pat's Delight had him sort of, might have even nosed him sort of 100 metres from the line, but Mark had him in front the whole way down. What did you think?
Yeah, look, I was in a bad angle. I had three in the race, and I was just watching. I was kind of watching them all, and then I kind of got on the chair, turned it at home, and I would like to say that Mark's my next door neighbour, so yeah. But he's a very, very good commentator. But I hope he's not listening. and look, he kind of got it right. And the angle I was on, I thought he got beat, but Mark called him in first, so he's normally pretty on the mark. So I was a little bit surprised. I thought Cranshaw was perhaps the light that got him on the post, but yeah, luckily it went my way.
Yeah, correct, exactly, spot on, mate. Congratulations with the win. It was a super tough effort. Thanks for joining us today, and all the best of luck with him going forward.
Thank you very much, and hopefully I'll get him over there one day soon.
Beautiful. We'd like to see him. Nigel McGrath, the trainer of Sheriff, who we will see at the duels, and we're going to see plenty more of the duels runners. The markets are out for the duels, which is quite exciting for all of those that like an early wager on the duels. And there's a lot of Australian interest in the duels. I mentioned at the top of the show that we haven't won a duels, Australia. We get an invite in each of the duels divisions, And the closest we've ever got, well, before last year was Divisive in the first year. Divisive ran second. But last year we had a really good performance with One Muscle Hill and Mr. Mojito. But this year is a big chance that we're going to actually have some success because we've got some really nice horses that have shown some interest in going across to Cambridge and performing well against the best of the Kiwis. You know, horses the calibre of Jillaby Kung Fu and Carla's Pixel and Platinum Revolution. Darren Williams from Harness Racing New Zealand's joining me to have a chat about the jewels and obviously a lot of interest here in Australia. The markets are already out through tab.com.au and Darren's joining me. Good morning, Darren.
Yeah, good morning, Greg.
Mate, very exciting times. The Harness Jewels not too far away. And as I mentioned, the Australians, I think this could be our year. We might finally get our chance to finally toast an Aussie win in the Jewels.
Yeah, Greg, on paper, looking at what we've got in front of us at the moment, it's the strongest contingent, I think, that we would have collectively put together to come over to the Jewels, as we would have watered the garden of the bridge yet. But right back to year one when Divisive had a gallop at the start and still runs second to Monkey King. And then last year, as you said, Mr. Mojito and One Muscle Hill running second. It's the closest we've got. And boy, there's been some nice horses try to win one. On paper this year, obviously, with the collection of horses we've got, they're all Group 1 performers, the majority of them, and very, very strong list.
Where are we at in terms of invitations and horses? Are you getting to the point of getting close to issuing invitations? Are you still putting together horses that have shown interest or connections that have shown interest to bringing horses across?
Yeah, we've slowed the invitation process down slightly this year. That doesn't mean that it's any reflection on the horses or anything else, but they are horses, and there's horses to come back from wee let-ups, obviously, Jillaby Kung Fu and Carla's Pixel and the like, and probably will race again before the Jewels, working very, very closely with the connections there, but not keen on issuing invitations and then having to do a U-turn and issue another one closer to the time. We're a bit messy media-wise and everything else, so just working through with the connections. I forgot time, I quickly rip through the list.
Yeah, for sure.
Like.
Yeah, for sure.
So two-year-old fillies, Platinum Revolution, obviously Shane and Lauren have been very strong supporters of the Jewels right from the get-go, and we always like having them over here. They've been over with the horses for the cup and things in the past. So Platinum Revolution's on the two-year-old fillies list. Over the last weekend, I haven't caught up with them yet, but David Jack's expressed interest with Major Kiss. Mm-hmm. And also his two-year-old trotters, Morton Bay and Sia Mackey, who have both won races, expressed interest with those. So we'll work through that with him in the next few days. Three-year-old fillies, She's All Rocks, to join Mark Purden, I believe, in the next wee while. So she's coming over for the New Zealand Oaks anyway. And Nick Stanley's expressed interest in the New Zealand Oaks as well with Soho Burning Love. So they could very well be in New Zealand for that Group 1 feature anyway. Mm-hmm. Two other fillies, I think, will go by the wayside. We had connections of Villa Beach, Nostra Beach and Nostra Villa expressed some initial interest, but I haven't heard any more from them at this stage. Mm-hmm. 4-year-old Mia's Carlos Pixel, obviously. Shane Tritton with She's a Grunter has expressed interest, as has Mark Jones with Delightful Memphis. Over to the 4-year-old colts and geldings, Jillaby Kung Fu obviously outpoints the other ones, but Tim Butter's keen to bring Let It Ride over for the Taylor Mile and the Messenger anyway, so he could qualify by winning money in New Zealand anyway. And Shane Fitton had initially expressed some interest with Gotta Go Yahoo. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of trotters, 4-year-old Trotter Custodian, of course, has already won a Harness Jewels from trained by Mark Purden. And Alison Alford's 3-year-old Trotter Wobbly, which we'd love to have over here. So you can see by that list that they're a very strong collection of Australian horses, and it'd be a great Australian team to have over.
Well, that you know, even if you could handpick 3 or 4 of the stars of that list that you've given there, that would be a very strong bunch of Australian chances to go and represent Australia over at the Jewels in Cambridge this year.
Yeah, it would be. And look, we love having the Australians over here. It goes back, right back to Inter Dominions and the like. And we're often over in New Zealand racing our horses in future races. And we like like the Australians to compete over here. It certainly adds flavour to the whole carnival. And eventually an Australian's going to win it. And if you look at this list this time, it'll be hard to say that one of those horses wouldn't be capable of winning one.
Yeah, for sure and certain. Well, Darren, we might keep in contact with you over coming weeks and see as we get closer to the duels and find out who's basically in and who's out, and as we get closer to the first invite being issued, if you like.
You know, that'd be good, Greg. Harnessduels.co.nz, if anyone wants to have a look there at all of the information, leaderboards, packages. I know the tour parties that are coming from Australia are pretty much sold out, but there are a number of packages if anyone's coming over. But a number of other pieces of information that are there that people will be interested closely at the time. There'll also be an extensive form guide that comes out with all the colours and everything in it closer to the time for people that are having a bet on the day. And I know we're working very closely with Sky Channel for these races to be, or as many as we can, to be on Sky One. So we appreciate all the help that everyone gives us over there to try and promote the day. And it's one of those unique days where we have 9 races and they're all Group One. So it's exciting stuff.
Beautiful, Darren. Thanks very much for joining me this morning.
No problem, Greg.
There he is, Darren Williams from Harness Racing New Zealand, having a chat about the Harness Duels, and hopefully we get the big Aussie contingent across there this year at Cambridge. All right, that wraps up another On The Pace, and back again. No, won't be back next Tuesday. Got school holidays next week. So back in a fortnight with another edition of On The Pace. And, Cozzy, I'll catch up with you again then.